Pushkin. Hello, everyone. Sometimes we get great material in interviews that doesn't fit in the episode. Actually, that happens most of the time if you're talking with someone who really knows their stuff. Now we have tangents exclusively for Pushkin Plus listeners. So all this greatness finally has a home. One of my favorite interviews of our Magic Wand episode was with Nancy Siegel, director of the Twins Studies Center at Cal State Fullerton. Her latest book is called Deliberately Divided, Inside the Controversial Study of Twins and Triplets Adopted Apart. The reason I called you is that on this blog, Marginal Revolution, which is quite popular among social scientists, I had the person who runs the blog post the question for me, what's the most interesting experiment that you'd love to do but can't? And I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of responses. And a lot of them were about twin studies.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I thought it would be really fun. That's why I thought it would be really fun to chat about this with you. So tell me, when I run that question by you, what comes to mind?
Okay. Well, a lot of things come to mind. One of the things I've often asked my students, in fact, is what kinds of experiments would you do that would give you the most definitive genetic and environmental solutions to the roots of human behavior? And one would be to take quadruplets who are naturally conceived or artificially conceived, but are composed of two sets of identical twins. And that happens, mm-hmm. right? So all same sex. And what you would do is you would rear them apart such that you keep the unrelated ones together. Not the unrelated ones, they'd be full siblings, you see. Mm-hmm. But you'd have the fraternal sets together and the identical twins separated and see if the identical twins raised apart were more alike than the fraternal twins raised together. And I suspect that they would be.
Oh, wait, this is so much fun. Hold on. Slow down. So we have four kids, four babies. Yeah.
We have four kids. A mother has conceived quadruplets,
yeah.
But they are all boys or all girls.
Okay.
And there are two sets of identical twins among them. So what that means is that she conceived fraternal twins and both of those embryos divided.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we are rearing together the two sets of fraternal twins. That is the members of one member of each identical set. And that way we're separating the monozygotic or identical twins and raising them in different homes.
So what does that experiment tell us that we don't know now, that we can't figure out now?
An experiment like that does not give us really new information. I think we know the answer. But what it does is it gives us the answer in a more persuasive and compelling way. And that really is the hallmark of good science, replication by multiple methods. And so just like the studies of twins raised apart, they're adopted apart for various reasons. They don't really give us that much new information, but they do it in a much more compelling and dramatic and persuasive way. And that's why they get attention. That's why they're so valued in the scientific realm.
Yeah. So your guess is the identical raised apart are going to be more similar than the fraternal raised together.
It's not my guess. It's what I know.
That's what you know. But you're saying an experiment like this would allow us to answer that question with a degree of precision and definitiveness that we might not already have.
That's correct.
Yeah. Wait, keep going.
So if you fertilize an egg in the in vitro fertilization process and you split it, or if it splits naturally, I'm not sure you can tell, but if you split it, and you implant that into different mothers and then see how that intrauterine environment might affect the child. Now, you'd have to bring the children back together again and have them raised by the same family, I think, to really get the sense of how the intrauterine environment might impact that child. But that would be something to do.
What would be a good example of, let's play with this, this is not a great one. So you'd want the intrauterine environments to be as different as possible without being harmful,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So maybe one mother runs, maybe one mother is a vitamin fanatic, maybe one mother takes better care of herself, even though the other mother takes decent care of herself, but one takes especially good care of herself. One has the child through a midwife at home. The other one delivers in a top-notch hospital. So there are various things that you could control for to just see how that might impact on the developing child. Of course, the one problem with that study would be that when identical twins share a womb, then there are certain stressors placed upon them so that there might be a fetal transfusion syndrome to various degrees of severity or other fetal crowding or things of that sort. Whereas you would not have that in these women who carried the twin as a singleton. So in some ways, actually, it's a better experiment because it's cleaner. You don't have those prenatal stressors interacting with your experimental givens.
Now that experiment, do we not know enough about the effects of the intrauterine environment? Is that why that would be a useful experiment?
We know a great deal about it, but we don't know everything. And the reason we don't know everything is because we really cannot do these unethical, impossible experiments. So you're asking me to stretch my mind. I'm doing exactly that. Yeah. Even if this kind of a study revealed no information that's new, it might reveal the same thing that we know anyway, and again, is more persuasive. You know, it's a more dramatic, more just compelling way of showing the same thing, which again is the hallmark of good science.
Thanks for subscribing to Pushkin Plus and for humoring this tangent. You can hear more bonus content from other Pushkin shows like Well-Read Black Girl, Deep Cover, and Car Show. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.